49. We're going to spend the last part of our kōrero today with a guy who is, well, universally loved. But he's also been through some significant health challenges himself. We're talking about Tame Iti. He's with us, Tame from Tuhoe, from the Waikato as well. He's also contributing to his community through work connected to health and well-being. And in the midst of Men's Health Week, it's appropriate that we talk with his personal journey, as Willie was kind enough to, and so was I suppose, about our own health issues. Don't be shy to talk about them, fellas. You know, they're real. We're not making them up. So the journeys of life include health, mental health, and the like. Tame's with us today. Hey, Tame, tēnā koe. Good to have another yarn.
Morena.
Hey, Tame, tell us about your diabetes journey, please. Tame, it's Men's Health Week. We're just trying to encourage each other to take better care of each other and to get checkups and the like. How old were you when you first realised that you had a challenge ahead with diabetes? Te tōkana?
I got diagnosed with diabetes probably about 25 years ago, and probably 27 years ago, and it's hardcore. You know, you really have to think about it. You know, I think I was. You know, went through it, and I've been on metformin for many years, and I had to, I didn't feel good at all about that. And it's a journey on itself, you know, and particularly with us, with the men, and I know so many of my relations have passed away, and they died really young, you know, because they never took care of themselves. They didn't bother going to the doctor, and you can see it. You can see it on their face. You can, their whole ahu is not really, really healthy. So I didn't want to be one of those, you know. I didn't want to be in that kind of situation. And, you know, despite all the things that I have been involved over the years, but health is a real serious issue that we need to deal with, you know. And, from smoking, I threw away the cigarette there many years ago too. And I didn't start smoking cigarettes till I was 21. And it wasn't the fact that I last night it was a pretty trendy, you know. And I started smoking the old tobacco pipe, and just it looked trendy, it looked cool, and I thought it was. And I had 10 years of that, and then my body started to, you know, even to a stage I was going to bed and have a cigarette, wake up in the morning, light up and have a puff before I even get up there and have a wash and go for breakfast. And then I had to deal with it. I had to talk to myself about it. And I think what I did just on cigarette alone, just about smoking a cigarette, I bought my last packet. It's 25. I just smoke menthol, and I bought my last menthol packet. I went down to the confiscation line, and I threw it down over on the confiscation line. So that was the way I had to deal with it. You know, it's a colonial habit. And it worked for me. You know, but the diabetes one, well, you know, that's ongoing, you know, and I try not to be a slave to it, but deal with it, you know, in the best way that I can. So I changed my diet. I had to, become a vegan. So I was not eating meat. Well, I'm still not eating meat. You know, vegan is you don't eat meat, no dairy products. Eggs, fish, and all of that. So I had to go back eating fish because I need to get some protein, you know, and stuff like that for the year. So I've been on vegan diet there for probably about 8 years, and so I'm back to eating fish there. I went back eating fish there about 3 years ago, just to get a bit of a balance. You know, it's a learning curve, you know, you learn about food, you know, food, you know, because I love my kite, we all do, you know, but there are kites here that is not good for, you know, particularly for people like us who are diabetic. And that's ongoing, so, hey, you know, and it's really about talking to yourself and look at myself, do I look good, do I feel good? You know, there's a moment that you don't feel good, then you didn't have to think about it and look at it, talk to other people about it. And yeah, so that's my call about that.
And it's very valuable, kōrero, Tamu. I was listening intently. Your journey, I love that you threw those cigarettes over the confiscation line, you know, and recognised that you could do something through your diet about your diabetes challenges. Also, in Men's Health Week, Tamu, we're talking about mental health for our bros. You've run many courses over the years back in the valley, just supporting our Māori men. Tell us about some of the pressures that you see, and as cost of living rises, unemployment also, people can find themselves in desperate circumstances emotionally. And on a week like this, where we're supportive of each other as tāne, what would you say about how to react when somebody you love is going through, you know, a bit of a crisis, an emotional crisis or mental health challenges? What should we do, do you think, Tamu?
Well, I've never ever seen, you know, our people in the situation, you know, going back in the early 70s, you know, I've never seen Māori on the street. And in fact, when I was hanging out with James K. Vassar, the poet, he was dealing with a whole lot of, you know, homeless people there. Most of those homeless people that I can remember in Wellington are mainly Kurowa Pākehā. And I think I might have seen one Kurowa Māori and, on the street there. I had a bit of a chat with him. So James was the one who went there and occupied empty houses and taken all the homeless people down there. But well, you know, in the last 20 years, you know, I see a lot of our people on the street, you know, just going to Auckland everywhere, even here in Takatāne. You know, we got young men, many young, a lot of young men. They're just sleeping there on the curb down on the street here in Takatāne alone. And, you know, and go in there and have a chat. A really sad situation, but other than that, you know, we just got to, you know, deal with it. You know, there are a lot of mental health issues, and I worked in that area there for many years. And what I used to do there with issues like that about physical violence to each other, to their partners, to their children. And I ran a program, you know, with the working with Tūhoe and Tūhoe Pōkiri Centre in my early days. Here in Ruatoki Tāne Atua, and we kind of created a program and maybe take them out for a bit of a hikoe over to Te Huriwera, to Mangapōhatu, a bit of a hikoe through Waimana, Ruatoki, you know, for about 3 or 4 days. You know, make some changes just to, in building relationship with men. We ran a foot lodge and taking them through that, and there's all sorts of ways of finding a way that we can talk to our people, have a conversation. You know, we don't have people like we used to back in the day. You know, we find like people, we look after them, people can't afford to find like their tamariki and nanny, koro, auntie, uncle will come along and take the tamariki away and then whangai them. That's all part and parcel of it. But we no longer have that kind of a, well, you know, I'm not too sure, but there still are some, a small group of people that still whangai and support other people, but we do definitely have a huge problem.
Tēnā koe, Tamu. We need to wrap our arms around each other, fellas. We're all important. Tamu Iti with us today. And awesome to have a corridor with you. Thanks for being so upfront about your own challenges. I'll catch up with you another time, Tamir. Thank you so much for your corridor today, Chief.